good. I can't see y'all. I'm an addict recovering from the disease of addiction, and my name is Sarah.
Hey, Sarah.
Whew, hi, family. I want to say I'm really, 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 really nervous. I'm not a podium speaker, and this is my first time. But I guess William, I don't know where William got that from, but William asked me to come. I'm from the Camden area of Narcotics Anonymous. And it's funny, you know, I went out to breakfast this morning with a couple addicts, and we were talking about fear and this and that and speaking in public, you know, and they asked, were you afraid? And I said, damn right, I'm scared. You know, and then one of them said, well, you know, the fear of speaking in public is worse, is more fear in that than it is in dying. And I wanted to die a couple minutes ago. Whew. But it's going to be all right. The only thing I can do is tell my story as I know it. And that's the kind of addict I am. I tell about me. You know, I don't share about what you need to do, what you should be doing, and what you could do, and, you know, what you ought to do. It's about Sarah being staying clean. And when I share my story, I can help somebody else get better with their story. You know, just to take the edge off, I want you to turn to your neighbor on the right and say, we only keep what we have by giving it away. And that's profound. Because I wasn't giving nothing up. I wasn't giving up nothing for nothing. And then turn to the one on the left and say, we keep what we have only with vigilance.
We keep what we have only with vigilance.
Whew. When I think of vigilance, I think of Charles Bronson, the vigilante that didn't stop until he got him back. So that's how I have to do about my recovery. You know, and before I got to Narcotics Anonymous, I didn't know a damn thing about spiritual principles. Absolutely nothing. But I thought I was a smart addict. See, I was the girl who grew up in the neighborhood that was the Duke of the neighborhood. Uh-huh. I could fight real good. But I was also a nerd because I was real smart. So I thought I was. You know, I wanted to do the best to please my mother. Because it seemed like I couldn't do anything to please her. Nothing. Like, nothing I did was good enough, and I was always going to grow up to be this whore and slut and tramp and nobody. And so what I did was I went outside our home, and I seek the approval of others through things I did in high school. I was in the cheerleading squad. I was on a yearbook. I was in the drill team. I was in the softball group. You know, I did everything to feel a part of and to get someone else's approval. And it included a lot of people pleasing. Because I had to smoke pot with the cool, hip, slick people. You know, but then I had to go back to the, you know, with the smart nerds and act like I was something I really wasn't. Whew. And trust me, I don't know about you, but the coke took a lot of my brain cells away because I can't remember nothing. Oh, I was supposed to read this. I'm sorry. See?
It's all right, girl. I didn't want to stop you in the middle.
The NA speaker, this takes the heat off some of it. I'm going to use this. The NA member chosen to speak needs to be someone who is working and living the program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is the possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that other addicts, other members, NA members, are from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. But when speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories, because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. And I can only give you what I have. How I got to Narcotics Anonymous was by way of an addict that I used with who got here before me. And I was on one of my weekend binges when I ran into a buddy of ours that said, I said, how's Marie doing? Don't break your hand in me, Mom, sorry. How's Marie doing? She doing all right. She running around here preaching about this NA program. That's what the other addict told me. I said, oh, yeah, what's her phone number? Because I had been looking for a way out a long, long time. You know, I had been to 4 or 5 rehabs. And they all told me the same thing. Go to Narcotics Anonymous. And I didn't. Because I said, I'm not going in there telling those people about my business. Your business is my business. And so when she gave me this phone number, I tucked it away. And on the next go-round, you know, when I was spiritually bankrupt, you know, didn't know where else to go. My family didn't want to hear it anymore. You know, my sisters were done. You know, I called this addict and she came and got me. And that was the start of my journey in Narcotics Anonymous. She came and got me with a couple other addicts and she ain't come alone. In our area, they say if you keep going back, if you go to the barbershop many times, you'll go get a haircut. You know, and that's what happened to me. You know, I came to this fellowship by way of that addict, and I remember my first meeting where the addicts lined up when I was on the critical care unit on the first row, crying my eyeballs out, but I still didn't want this one gentleman to know who I was in the meeting because his mother and I, my mother, went to church together. So I was still on image time. And because I didn't use like my sister that's 10 years older than me, scratching and nodding, I wasn't an addict. I just hit the pipe. For days at a time. Days and nights at a time. And our disease is progressive, incurable, and fatal. And thank God, she came and got me. Had it not been for Narcotics Anonymous, I know I would be somewhere six and green. 6 feet under with green on top, for those who don't know. When I used hard. I didn't want to face the damage I had done. I need some water. Can you get me some? There it is right there. But I went to this meeting. And man, it was right where I, look, this is where I had been wanting to go all the time. Damn, why didn't I listen to those rehab counselors? The addicts in my area, I mean, the line was out the door to come hug this suffering addict. We don't do that anymore. Addicts cry and they share and they suffer and they you know, they come in our meetings and they let go of their darkest secrets and they share about what they're going through and we look at them. I'm a hugger in my area. Thank God for those hugs. And they told me, you never have to feel this way again.
That's right.
And I held on to that for the meeting. And I said, some cute guys in those meetings. I wanted to fit in there. I wanted to feel a part of. I wanted them to validate me as being one of them. And I wanted what they had. I wanted what they had on the outside. See, my denial told me if I dressed it up, I was okay. That's what kept me going back for one more. If I just went out and bought the right outfit, nobody would know that I had used all weekend. And in the beginning, after I started plugging into the program, I wouldn't come to the meeting unless I was dressed up. But I heard something. And it was a glimmer of hope for me. It was my first glimmer of hope. And he said, it ain't about the outside. They just jealous. They jealous, they ain't got it like God got it, you know. And I kept dressing it up and running to the coffee pot and wanting to be seen. And denial told me I was a part of and that I had fit in and that I was recovering. I didn't come in the meeting and talk about where I was, how I felt after, you know, had that argument with my old man, or how I felt, you know, after I got that raise on my job. You know, I didn't come in and talk about those feelings. And then the thoughts would come. You can do one. Nobody won't know. Go on the south side. Leave all your money home. Just take $20. Denial. Of course, I looked up some things about denial before I got here. I didn't want to seem totally dumbfounded. Denial of our addiction kept us sick, but our honest admission of addiction enabled us to stop using. It says in step one, and I'm going to try to repeat this. It says the foundation of our program is that I can't do this alone and that I need your help. Whew. Help me, Lord. It says, hold on, let me find it. Okay, the foundation, okay, hold on 1 second. Damn it, I know it's in here somewhere because I saw it. The foundation of our program is the admission that we, of ourselves, do not have the power over addiction. I didn't know how to stopped using. I knew how to stop before I got here. I could stop for 3-4 days. At the end. Prior to that, I could stay stopped for 30 days. No sooner I built that nest back up. My thinking said, you can get one. And I went right back to that familiar ground, that old neighborhood, and I picked up. You know, it says the foundation of our recovery is the admission of complete defeat, surrender. When I heard in my early recovery and I heard surrender to win, I'm thinking, what? How you gonna win if you surrender? I always thought you fought to the end, the bitter end. Slobbering and snotting and everything, whatever it took. You know, I've been in denial. I was in denial about my addiction long before I came to recovery. I thought if I just had that right house with the white picket fence. See, I used to go to fantasy and everything, even as a little kid. I went to fantasy if I just had a light-skinned mother. Because my mother was real dark and I couldn't identify. I was the only light child in the family. 5 sisters, all of them darker than me. And they had a nickname for me, Whitey. That's what they called me. But I often fantasize about living in the right house. Like, you know, like just being able to have a house with real furniture and not slip covers. And a real antenna on the TV. And knobs on the dressers. And my dad that didn't come home and tear everything up. You know, and I fantasized. I went to school and I told lies about what I thought I had. At that point, I didn't know I was lying. I just thought I was pleasing them. giving my friends what they wanted to hear. My denial of my addiction told me that if I just moved away, that I wouldn't have to use anymore. If I just moved away to another state, that nobody would know me and I wouldn't have to use. And y'all told me you take you everywhere you go. You know, I really prayed in my first year of recovery. I'm the addict who relapsed multiple times. Because I didn't come to the meeting and talk about where I was. I came to the meeting quoting stuff out of the basic text that I thought you wanted to hear. And that, you know, I wanted to sound like you. I wanted to be that profound speaker. So I would come home, I would go home, read a line, try to memorize it all night, come back and recite it. And y'all would say, keep coming back. I thank God for the keep coming back. I ain't lying. Had it not been for the keep coming back, I would be somewhere. Whew. That I don't want to be. I was in denial. I thought if I had prayed a couple months into my recovery, I prayed and I asked God, I said, if I just had the right house, and if I just had the right good paying job, and if I just had the good relationship where the man understood what I needed and gave it to me, you know, if I just, you know, didn't have to use anymore, that I wouldn't have to use anymore. I messed that up a little, but oh well. If I just had all these outside things that I wouldn't have to use anymore, and God gave them all to me. He gave them all. I forgot the other part. Just had a nice car. I just had a nice car and a nice house and a good paying job. I'm all the way up in fantasy somewhere. And fantasy makes me feel good. I don't know about y'all. But fantasy makes me feel good. It takes me, you know, to a place of satisfaction. And I got all those things within a 6-month period. God blessed me with every last one of them. My addict friends will tell you. I had 90 days. I was driving a 94 Jeep Cherokee. No, Blazer. Didn't last long. About 6 months. I lost all of it in one run. Everything. My house. My car, gave it to somebody for a couple cats. A 94 Blazer. My job said, you got a problem. You're fired. The man, he hung around because he knew I was vulnerable. So I would tolerate his cheating. And I wanted to die. I remember being back at my mother's house in a bedroom that was like, had just enough room for a cot and a dresser after having a single home with a king size bed and my own front yard, my own backyard. And I was taken back and I wanted to kill myself. I wanted to jump in front of a truck, but God sent one addict again. Thank you, Juana. God sent that one addict, and she didn't let me sit there and suffer long. Because, see, I was mad at all y'all. I was pissed off that I went back out using, and, like, you know, y'all wasn't calling me. Saying, are you all right? Just hold on. Keep coming back. It was rumors. They were saying, ain't you scared? They thought I was going to get them high. I had relapsed so many times. But God sent one addict, and she forced me to come back to Narcotics Anonymous. And I came back with the understanding that it ain't about the outside. This is truly, truly, truly an inside job. And we go inside by taking a look at ourselves on a daily basis, applying the spiritual principles of the 12 steps in our lives. And there's three of them that are indispensable. honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And it took me about a year before I really knew what that acronym stood for. How? That's how this program works. Honesty. Open-mindedness and willingness. I read something about denial. It said the conscious failure or subconscious inability to see, know, or accept the truth. Mm. That ain't my shit. That's something I read. And I wrote it down. But it said conscious or subconscious inability, powerlessness. Don't even know I'm lying. As addicts, we find it easier to change our perception of reality than to change reality. I always looked at change as being the end of something, so I fought. They wanted to install a new software program at my job, right? And I had been used to using the DOS version of this program. And I'm a dinosaur on my job. I'm a boss. I've been around a long time. And I can manipulate that program real good. And they want to move it to a Windows version. And it's slower. And I fought it for years. And they wouldn't do it. And then, you know, we were forced to upgrade because they no longer supported the DOS version. And we got this upgrade, and I'm telling you, the program is awesome. And I fought that shit for it. It makes my life much easier. I can do stuff I didn't have no capabilities of doing with the old program. My way of thinking never worked for me. Getting one more never worked for me. Change is hard. But it's the beginning of something. I understand that now. I didn't understand that when I first got here. Change is the beginning of something new. In our recovery, it says, in order to recover, we have to change our ideas, attitudes, and behaviors. Step 3, practice sane acts. That's what my sponsor told me. In the beginning, it was make a meeting a day. That's practicing the sane act. And then it went on to, you know, pay your insurance bill. Don't drive with no insurance, because if you get caught, you're going to have some consequences. Stop sleeping with that married man, Sarah. Because you don't want him, you just want his money. So I had 2 or 3 others that were doing other things for me. One that I had for me that made me feel good when I was with him, because, you know, he was the one I couldn't have. Then it was the other one that was just there, you know, because I had to have somebody just there. And then it was the old man who, like, just wanted me, and I didn't want nothing to do with him. I just wanted what he had so I could dress up the outside. Change my ideas, attitudes, and behaviors. I had to change my people, places, and things. I don't even know where I'm going, but 2 minutes. I need to share this. One thing that I was in denial for about, I don't know that denial is so much, don't even know I'm lying. In the beginning it is, but when you take an honest accept, when you practice the 3 indispensable spiritual principles of this program, when you honestly look at a situation and you become open-minded enough to share it with somebody else, either in your network or your sponsor, and you get restored, and then you take it back to become willing to practice sane acts. Stop stealing when I go to the grocery store. Because you might get caught. And I did. And it was really, really embarrassing. But, see, I had a daughter in my active addiction. And I took her through the abandonment. You know, mommy going to the store, I'll be right back. Mm-hmm. 5 days later, here I come with nothing from the store. Over and over and over again. And I did this to my, start off at 4, 3, ended up when she was 13. And I heard her. And she's on my 8th step. But I don't allow her to hold me hostage to that shit today. And I know that her choices are her choices. And I know that I'm powerless over her thinking because God gave her a brain like he gave me. But when I found out she was gay, not my daughter, not my daughter. And see, I will always care about what you thought about me, and I wasn't going to tell y'all that shit. So I called my sponsor. When I found the letters. And she said, well, she's just going through a phase right now. She'll change. And denial told me that if I just went to Old Navy and bought $300 worth of girl clothes, that she would wear them and everything would change. And I did. And I put them on my charge at that. I ain't paid cash for them, so I'm still paying on them clothes. You know what I mean. Y'all know anything about a little bit over the minimum, you know what I mean. And she gave them clothes to her girlfriend. All I know for me is that, I'm going to tell you like this, like MasterCard and Visa, $5,000 diamond ring, $5,000, a man that won't cheat on you, priceless. Yes. A Coach bag, $350, being able to pay for it, priceless. The house, the car, everything, all the material things, thousands. Some of us got million-dollar homes. Not many, but some of us do. Peace of mind, serenity, not having to fight anymore, joy, unconditional love, allowing you to be where you are in spite of how I feel you should be. Priceless.
Thank you. I would like to introduce our second speaker, Steve C.
Hi, Steve.
Need some water?
Come on, man. Hi, my name is Steve C, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Steve.
And they call me the Batman because Robin is the problem. And I get that from the 5th step for a reason, because it says in the 5th step we all wear masks. And I call mine the Batman because, see, people don't realize that a bat can't see shit, but he can hear everything. That's why in our literature it says learn to listen and listen to learn. But some of us are in denial about that. So let me read this statement because I'm getting that look. The NA member chosen to speak at meetings to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and the 12 traditions, which means I got references. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and traditions, there is a possibility that a group's inexperience in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the fellowship. This is not a religious program. It's a highly spiritual program, and we're just responsible for the earth work. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying a message to the addict who still suffers. Sometimes it's me. When speaking at any meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to excessively dwell on our active addiction or war stories, which you're going to hear some, because we all know what it was like to use. We came to NA to stop using. We are not here to share. See how disease is? It just went there. Could you ask this motherfucker? Get the fuck out. It says, we came here, and we are here to share our experience, our strength, and our hope. I like to thank the God of my understanding for allowing me to give back to y'all what was so freely given to me. I'm just going to share my experience, my strength, and my hope on denial. Don't even know I'm lying. Hoping that you take what you need and leave the rest. That's how I came in to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. In denial. I'm talking about an addict that was loitering in the process of Narcotics Anonymous. Newcomer, when you loiter in society and you're at a job and you punch in and don't do shit, you're loitering. And I was in denial. You know, they said, when's he gonna learn some shit? Or he looks cute, but when the fuck is he gonna start doing some shit? See, they politely fired my ass. Because as addicts, we are the best liars, manipulators, cowards, deceivers in the world. This is not the I feel sorry for you program. So if you brought somebody in here new who's suffering, you did your job. Let them sit there and wallow in this shit and wonder what denial is. Because you don't know what denial is until you get out of denial. So newcomer, when you start doing this step work and these traditions, you will learn to thank the people who can't stand you and those addicts who are waiting for you to relapse. You will never hear nobody say, I hope you're relapsed. You'll never hear that. But what you will hear says like, oh, he relapsed. It wasn't me. Who? That dude who always talks that shit in the meeting? It wasn't me. That's why these traditions are non-negotiable. So when I build up 6 months of I think I'm well time, you know, I think I'm well. I had to hit the bottom before I could see the destruction, disaster, and delusion of my using. And that bottom was that both of these lungs collapsed loitering in the process of Narcotics Anonymous. Newcomer. I'm talking about a bottom there. I couldn't look to the left, couldn't look to the right. I had nowhere to look but up. I'm talking about a bottom newcomer. Not a pullover, not a stop, not I'm talking about a bottom. Because you'll be surprised what happens when you hit a bottom. And when I came to, I didn't wake up, I came to in denial. I'm talking about coming to with a week of my life that I've been gone. Because we have to realize that ketchup is for sandwiches. If you don't catch on to this program, newcomer, here's an acronym for you. Because program means people relying on God to relay a message. He will use the most stupidest person in the room, which is me. I'm fucked up. There is no model of the recovering addict. So when you hear somebody talking about, I am sponsor, 15 years. Tim, can I talk to you? I said I had 15 years. I don't want to talk to him. The newcomer is always the most important person. Because the second tradition says we become role models for the newcomer. Because I want to know how you got a full perm. When you came here, you had half a perm, 2 hours in your head. I'm like, I'm tired. How'd you come up in here looking this good? Don't sit there and model for me. Talking to me? Yeah, you. You came up in here with half a perm. I remember. Newcomer, you see the identification? Coming up in your hair like this.
I'm tired.
Make me understand. I don't want to judge you. And the men weren't no worse. You know they was fucked up because, see, they was like wooden soldiers because they deodorant ran out. I'm talking about, listen. Yo, what you doing slurping like that? Would you sit in the front, please? And you know, and I remember going to my counselor because I was slowly coming out of denial. And then when you are slowly coming out of denial, it is nothing and it is something that is not easy. Because you are in the pain of change business. Come on. I was walking around because I'm getting love or whatever. But you know how you look around people. Don't sit there and act like you love everybody. Come on. How many people did you see? I mean, you just look at them. Sometimes you get that, that look. You know, because there are so many people that's going through shit that you get tired of the hugs. Who the fuck are you? Who the fuck are you? That's why the theme of this whole convention is the ties that bind us together. Because there's a bunch of people that were in denial. And even when you get clean, you start to get denial about some shit. Health issues, job issues. You know, you get whatever. And then realize, you may come here as Mr. and Mrs. N.A. and you're being denied. Do I really know you, motherfucker? We've been together 20 years and I just realized why. I swear I met you in the crack house. Why am I still fucking with you? And then he's stupid too. Talking about, well, I surrendered. Then I did too. So there were some prescriptions that God has in every meeting that I had to follow. I had to make 90 meetings, not 90 dances. I'm talking about 90 meetings to sit there and listen to who's an addict. God God says, who's an addict? Because everybody in this room has a mask. I'm talking about who is an addict, because it represents the jails I made holding the key. Institution is the treatment for a wound that's never going to heal. So if you're in treatment, please don't fool yourself thinking you're going to be all right. Because our family, you talk about, hey, you did it. You're all right. But my God says my disease is progressive, incurable, and fatal. So make me understand, if I'm paying for treatment for a wound, because we'll get like that. And when you're in treatment, treatment is always geared for relapse. Because if we get a cure up in there, there's going to be a few unemployed motherfuckers up in this room. What will I do? I've been telling niggas not to use. Well, McDonald's is hiring. Oh, no. When you've been treatment. That's why death is always the easy way out. We're talking about a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Because it says in our literature, when we was in denial, this was after the drugs ran out now. Because you got to remember, when you're in shit, you become shit. So when somebody's using, who the hell are you talking about? When are you going to stop? Stop what? Come on, look at you. You fucked up. I can't see shit. Denial! You know, this is why when somebody relapses, this God says we practice the 12 step. We don't set ourselves up as gods. Just stand there. Have a seat. Let me tell you what happened. Have a seat. I'm not going to sit here and reopen old wounds. For what? Because you forget that all meetings are only an hour in certain cities, or an hour and a half. And the disease, newcomer, a disease that travels at the speed of thought. A disease that's older than religion. A disease that pulls out reservations that you think are tucked away. A disease that's always mad that you simply changed your mind. And when he stands there, he always says, did I judge you? When you robbed your mother, did I say anything? When the rent was missing and people looking for the money, did I squeal? Did I say anything? All I said was, I'm thirsty. And newcomer, this laughter is not to amuse the identification, because, and how does a disease quench its thirst? It quenches its thirst on your spirit. Because God says our spirits were reduced to that of an animal. What animal did you become? I was a lizard to my... Listen. Talking to a dealer that was a Klingon, I said, listen. I just spent $1,000. Can I get a package on credit?
and he was a Klingon. No. You know, we be asking for favors like they giving out receipts. Come on, I shop here all the time. You were in a crack house. You were in alcohol. You're fucked up. And you standing there like a lizard, like me. Listen. Asking for one more. Maybe it's me. I don't know. I'm stupid. I'm stupid. I'm stupid. That's what we're talking about. Talking about the insanity that we was in. And then you sitting there. And that's why the next prescription that helps us get out of denial is, why are we here? Because we get prime time, clean time, and we forget, why are we here? Because God also says, his two other twins, those two other nasty bastards. See, in the beginning, it was boredom and complacency. For the beginner, for the newcomer. Because you got to remember that boredom and complacency. They always show up when I was getting dressed to look good because it took me 10 years to look this good. I need to let you know. So appreciate that everything matches. My teeth are shining. Yeah. But boredom and complacency always shows up. Boredom says, well, you got 10 years. Why do you keep making these meetings? But Mr. Complacency is more direct. He goes, no, stay home. I'll make the meeting for you. Is there somebody here who can identify how many times your ass did not want to go? Oh, come on. Mr. Complacency showed up and your ass said, you know what, I am looking good, ain't I? Yeah. But you don't know, I just told you, he's going to visit somebody in this room tonight. Because with all the laughter and all the hope, there's somebody in here that he's sitting right next to talking about, don't listen. I know you. Do you live in Ocean City? None personal. That's why when we talk about through our inability to accept personal responsibility, we were actually creating our own problems. Don't forget, if you pick somebody who played you like a piano, who picked them? Sponsor who tells you, hey, listen, don't call me after 11, forgetting that my disease doesn't sleep. So how are you going to tell me you're going to guide me and put a clock on the time I need to call your ass? It doesn't care. We talking about that job you can't stand? Who applied for it? That's why I like people to be like this. Oh, I can't stand my fucking job. I say, you can quit, you know. Fuck you. That's a quick answer. Right? Fuck you. No, that's a nice way of saying I'm staying. Because everybody, when you're in this spiritual program, denial goes out and then you start to change. You start to practice of what can I do? You start to learn, take what you need and leave the rest. You start to realize when your boss says, let me fuck with this happy motherfucker named Steve C. Let me fuck with him. And I go, it's all right. Of course I gotta kiss your ass. You're the boss. Well, Steve, what an attitude. Hey, the landlord don't want to hear no excuses. And the landlord, he shares recovery. You just don't know it. Because when I was living, before I moved into a house, but I'm talking about
in an apartment. The landlord, and I call myself being nice to him, and I was in denial because in my mind I thought we was boys. But no, he says, I said, hey, how you doing? I'm okay. Is the water running? Yeah, the water's fine. Can I buy you a soda? No. Is the electricity okay? Yes, okay. And I said, well, what's wrong? Where's the rent? I got the rent. I just want to look like you. I don't need no shelter, Stevie. Do you have the rent? So when he was telling me that, for 30 days, he will tolerate my ass, and he'll stay on my motherfucking face. Is there somebody you would pay to stay at your face for 30 days? That was the hit for me. Exact nature. Because in denial, it creeps back up. Because you can't help but. And that's why we start working the steps, newcomer. Because the word step, if you can spell, means the solution to every problem serene. What step do you pull out when somebody betrays you in the name of recovery? What step do you pull out when with clean time the doctor says, by the way, you got AIDS and cancer's progressing? What step do you pull out when you're in a business meeting and you thought somebody had your back like a jacket and they take off their mask and say, fire! And you standing there. Because I've experienced it, newcomer. I've been attacked at meetings. That's right, this handsome, fine sham mama been attacked! By another recovering addict who claimed to have clean time. These Lipitors. And I'm sharing it because, see, you will never hear me break my enemy, but I'm sharing because there's somebody in this room that was in a business meeting and somebody jack slapped that ass or said, let's go outside and talk. No, let's go outside. I'm tired of your shit. You've been there. Because in the meeting, we love you, I love you, let's give me a hug. Business meeting, can't stand that ass. You don't know nothing. Who the hell are you? Every time. But nobody wants to step up. Why you think my sponsor in the beginning, God bless the dead, my first sponsor. My sponsor now is there, but my very first sponsor. I'm talking about the one that came to do H&I. See, H&I is hospitals and institutions. But for me, the Batman, H&I means help immediately. I'm talking about walking in a hospital and looking at somebody with irregular underwears, foam slippers, and they medicate them before they come in. And you intimidated. It's time to share. But you'd be surprised. The gift. And gift means that God is forever there. Because the gift that you get is when that person who was medicated and was messed up taps you on the back and says, listen, I want to thank you, man. You touched the spirit. And I'm in the third row. Thank you, Batman. I heard you. You know, because I came in here for milk, juice, and some cookies, but you rocked my motherfucking world. And that's how the tears come. We ain't in competition. Because, see, I love what this convention is because we got everybody that you could probably hear can be a banquet speaker. We're not in convention. We're not in competition. I ain't in denial. It's my job to lift you up. It's my job to say, if you got two Rolls Royces, I hope you get a third one. If you got four fur coats, I hope you get a fourth one. Why you want that? Because you got to pay the cleaning bill. I hope you like what I'm saying. Don't sit there and think a nigga got four fur coats that them shits clean themselves. Some water. Damn. That's Mr. Newcomer, you come. I need some water. Need some water. It's not a commercial.
Thank you. So,
and I'm sharing about the denial piece because the traditions are the ties that bind us together. The tradition help us stay out of denial because you know what the word that we hate is addicts? And look at yourselves when I'm saying this. Non-negotiable. You know when you was out there, your mother said, didn't I tell you can't go? Non-negotiable. And the disease of some, she goes to sleep. Come on. Just listen, don't say shit. Let her talk. I'm with you. Because the disease always talks to you. Because when you relapse, he says it real loud. You again? What is it this time? You lost your man? What's up? Why you keep making these meetings and sharing our business? This is not that I feel sorry for your program. There's a price you pay when you're doing God's work. Did you see the statement? Traveling, I'm from New York City, and it's a thing that I make various rooms because there are a lot of times I'm into listening now because there's only but so much. You forget that all cars run out of gas, and my spirit always needs to be filled. When you hear somebody that has hurt you and violated, like I just said, I was attacked. And you running around apologizing to everybody except the person that you hurt. Make me understand. You know what that is? That's like going to your house, taking a piss, and then going to the landlord. Hey, I fucked up your apartment, 5B. And then the landlord says, what the fuck you telling me for? It's lip service. 10th step makes that real clear. We continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admit it. We are continuing to do the previous steps because we're going to go through some shit, newcomer. So I'm talking to the global part, that you in here and you're part of something that's worldwide. Man, you know, I was coming up, and this guy from Poland gave me his key check, and he says, I heard you in London. Would you take my keys? It fucked me up. Yes, sir. Yeah. Here it is in Polish saying, clean and serene. Yeah. I may never see this guy again. But he gave me this, and it's like, I can't wear it because they're nothing more. It says in his language, Polish, we are clean and serene. Because if you don't do this step work, you will stay in denial and you'll be clean and diseased. You know you're lying. We're the best liars. That's why when you start, more will be revealed. Is about when you start to get these gifts that you get, what are you willing to do to maintain them? All y'all look gorgeous, drop that gorgeous, but you ain't coming here like that. Y'all going back to the room. You know who you are. You know who you are. So I'm going to close like I always close. Because I touched on the traditions. And I'll give you the first three for the newcomer. Our common welfare means I ain't got to like you, but I need you. I'm talking about when two addicts can't stand one another. To bring somebody they don't know. To hear somebody they don't like. Carry the message of Narcotics Anonymous. Non-negotiable. For a group purpose, God is the ultimate authority. I ain't nothing but a trusted servant. The same way God trusted our mothers and fathers to raise us to the best of their ability. But we made decisions that got us a seat in Narcotics Anonymous. Non-negotiable. So if you don't own something, if you're in somebody's meeting and you got 10 years, you don't own it. God says the shit is mine, and if you can't, don't know what to do with it, give it to somebody else. The only requirement is a desire to stop using. The same desire you had to try to get that drop that gorgeous woman in the way. The same desire. You did whatever you had to do. I got to get a job. I got to spend money. You did something. You just don't walk up into a gorgeous woman like that and say, hey, I live with my mother and I like you. Her answer, keep coming, baby. Keep coming. Because the new addict deal, newcomer, is if somebody likes you, excuse me, can I see your W-2? I need to see stability. Oh, you like me? Let me call you. Real simple. Desire represents work and effort. God handles all results. So please, get out of his way. If you came here, you brought a newcomer, you did your job. If you came here, you heard something that maybe relieved the pain, you did your job. Don't start talking about God sponsors me. Who the hell are you? So when you start hearing somebody saying some crazy shit, tell them just like that. Do you got a letter from God? Can I read it? Please. So I'm going to close with the symbol. The symbol that represents shit's going to happen. This too shall pass. It's a symbol that represents God, self, service, and society. If you got a problem with God, give a good early direction. If not, grow up or die. Self. Nobody's going to love you better than you. Nobody. These bodies are nothing but Rolls Royces that God has allowed you to drive. And when they ask you to park it, not pull over, park it. He's going to humbly walk into the window and say, did you do my will? Or did you do yours? Don't start crying. You've been driving this car for 75 years. Did you do my will? Or did you do yours? Service. When you're doing the right thing for the right reason, everybody's not going to like your ass. I'm talking about being in a business meeting and your best friend, who you know is a thief, wants to be the treasurer. Louis the thief, I'll do it. But don't get mad at Louis. Who voted him in? Who voted him in? Nobody wants the cop. Society. Pain shared is pain lessened. In denial, it is our job to open our mind and our hearts to those internal changes with the presence of a loving God. Newcomer, that's why you feel. Then you deal, then you heal. It's a freedom that isn't free. So when you forget the work and effort it took to get this freedom that you now have in your life, the lack of gratitude will sink right back in. And all this pain, misery, and suffering will gladly be refunded. I didn't make this. I just carried a message. My name is Steve. Thanks for looking at shit.